This is the Access Now podcast, episode one, interview with David Lepofsky.
Hi everyone, this is Diane Rogers, advocacy and policy manager at the Blind Foundation. It's my great pleasure to introduce you to our international guest, who's brought out by the Blind Foundation, David Lepofsky, Canada's leading campaigner for access laws, both in Canada, but also supportive of campaigns around the world. David's come out this week to help us with the Access Matters campaign, which is a campaign that the Blind Foundation's taking a lead on with a number of other organisations who want to see an Accessibility for New Zealanders Act come into reality. So welcome, David.
Great to be here.
So, David, I want to begin by letting our listeners know about what is the Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act?
Okay, well, this is a law that was passed in Ontario, Canada's most populous province, back in 2005. And it was passed not because the government thought of it, but because people with disabilities wanted it and campaigned for it for a decade. It's a law which requires Ontario to become a fully accessible province for people with disabilities within 20 years of its enactment. And by disabilities, we include all disabilities, physical disabilities, sensory disabilities like vision loss. I happen to be totally blind. Intellectual disabilities, learning disabilities, neurological disabilities, communication disabilities, the whole spectrum, visible and invisible disabilities. And for us, accessibility includes a society without barriers, without disability barriers. Some barriers we face are physical, like for people in wheelchair steps to get up into a building, or physical barriers for blind folks, like angled pillars that can whack you in the head. Some barriers are information barriers, like lack of information on a website in an accessible format, technological barriers, bureaucratic barriers, legal barriers, the whole spectrum of barriers. This law requires those to be removed over time and requires new barriers to be prevented. It puts in place measures to require the provincial government to create, enact, and enforce a series of accessibility standards that will tell organizations what they have to do and when they got to do it by in a series of important sectors of the economy like customer service, employment, access to information communication, education, healthcare, and so on, and the built environment, of course, as just some examples. So that's what the law is. Now, before we had this law, we actually had a legal right in Canada, an important, strong legal right to equality for people with disabilities. It was guaranteed in the Ontario Human Rights Code, kind of like the New Zealand human rights legislation. It was also guaranteed in the equality provision of our Constitution. And our Constitution forbids discrimination by governments based on disability in legislation or in government action based on a number of grounds, including physical or mental disability. And so we already had those rights, but the problem was they weren't being honored a lot of the time. Why not? Because of two problems. The first is that to enforce them, people with disabilities had to fight them, fight cases, fight barriers one at a time, one organization at a time. And this is just a brutal burden that is too much to expect people with disabilities to have to do. And the other problem is that these laws, while important, didn't give organizations the detailed information they need on exactly what they got to do and when they got to do it by. Let me give you an example that is relevant to people with vision loss. We have a great public transit system in Toronto, subways, buses, streetcars. But back in the early 1990s, they didn't announce the stops, all the stops on the subways or the buses or the streetcars. So if you had vision loss, how did you know where to get off? I asked our Toronto Transit Commission, the TTC, as an individual, hey, will you announce all subway stops? Initially, they said no. Then we got into a fight. Then when I threatened litigation, they said yes. Then they didn't do it properly. And eventually, I had to bring another case. So I brought out a case. I brought it to a hearing. And fortunately, I'm a lawyer. I was able to win it. And they were ordered to announce all subway stops to benefit blind people. By the way, we found out that most of the people who benefited from it weren't blind people. They do. But the largest number of people who benefited was actually sighted people who wanted to know what stop they're at too. Can't see through crowds to signs or busy reading a book or fell asleep, whatever. Anyway, what helps us helps everyone. After I won that case, I was asking the Toronto Transit Commission to also announce all subways, all bus and streetcar stops, because if you got to announce all subway stops for blind people, surely you got to do the same for buses or streetcars. Well, you might think that and I might think that, but the TTC didn't think that. I had to sue them a second time, one barrier at a time. Now, I won that case, but people with disabilities shouldn't have to go through this. Because we had our Disabilities Act, we were able to get the province to pass a transportation accessibility standard. Among other things, it requires all transit authorities to announce all route stops. So the law is now clear, beyond dispute, and the only challenge we face is whether we can get the government to effectively enforce it. But the purpose of the law is to ensure that our right to equality is actually protected without us having to sue one barrier at a time and without obligated organizations having to go to hearings to find out what they got to do.
Thanks, David. David, just moving on to New Zealand. So you're here to work with the campaigners. It's 15 days out from the national election. What have you been doing, what have you been saying to campaigners here?
Well, let me begin by a huge thank you to the Blind Foundation of New Zealand for inviting me. I'm honored to have become one of your volunteers now, and it's great to be here and for covering the cost of getting me here. I've been speaking to audiences of people with disabilities, to disability organizations, to some politicians. Just spoke at the Dunedin City Hall to some of their public officials in the planning area, as well as some disability activists there, and to the media about some of these ideas. I've been sharing ideas on two fronts. One, why legislation is a good idea, and the other is some strategies we've learned about how to conduct a grassroots campaign, a nonpartisan campaign like the one which the Access Alliance is now doing, to try to get all the political parties to agree. And the core message I would share with people listening to this podcast is that we've learned from our activities is that is really two messages. The first is that this is a nonpartisan issue, or it should be, and you can wage a campaign in a nonpartisan way. Three of the political parties have given commitments to the Access Alliance that they would support a national accessibility law. That's the Māori Party, the Labour Party, and the Green Party. The other four parties haven't given a commitment yet. The goal should be to get all parties to make that commitment and all candidates to personally make that commitment. This is not a campaign to elect or defeat any individual or any party. It's a campaign to get commitments across the board. Our law was passed in Ontario unanimously. All the parties, all the members of our legislature. Same happened in the province of Manitoba. Same happened in the province of Nova Scotia. It's been really important to get that across-the-board support. And the second message I've been sharing is that it's rare in your history that an opportunity comes up where a little crack opens in the big government door that could get in your way of progress. And when a little crack in that door opens, our obligations, not just as organizations but as individuals, is to grab that door and do all we can do to haul it open and race through it before it slams shut again. Well, that crack in that door is open because the Access Alliance has done such a great job of getting commitments from three parties and for raising this issue in this election. And so the opportunity is now over the next – we're recording this on Friday, the 8th of September. As of today, there are 15 days left between now and the election. But who can haul that door open? It's individuals. It's individuals with disabilities and individuals who haven't yet gotten their disabilities. So people listening to us, if you got vision loss or you've got a friend or a family member or a loved one that got vision loss, this affects all of you. And so what I've encouraged folks to do is to contact the candidates, particularly the candidates, the parties that haven't made the commitment yet, and say, please make the pledge. Promise to support a national accessibility law. We can work on the details of what it'll include after the election, but let's at least agree that we need one. And if you can go to an all-candidates debate or a candidates event, or you happen to encounter a candidate in the supermarket or at a street corner or wherever, or if they're on a radio show, phone in and ask. And what I'd ask them to do is two things. If they're from one of the parties that haven't made the commitment, ask them to personally commit. Whatever be your party's platform, would you personally commit that if you're elected, would you support the call for national accessibility law? And second, would you commit to call your party leader and ask your leader to make that commitment between now and Election Day? These kind of campaigns could work, especially because New Zealand's caught up in an election right now that sounds like it's pretty unpredictable and pretty close and pretty contentious. So everybody wants every vote they can get. Again, I emphasize this is a nonpartisan thing. It's not talking about who to vote for. It's none of my business. But back home, it's also none of my business. We don't try to elect or defeat any party or any candidate. We try to get commitments from everybody. And an election campaign is the best time to get those commitments.
Thanks, David. That's great. Not everybody thinks this is a good idea at the moment. We still have a way to go to present the facts, present the case. So I just want to ask you this question. What would you say to people who think New Zealand has enough laws already protecting people with disabilities, particularly people with vision loss?
I'd say this. Do you think that people with disabilities, including people with vision loss, right now live in a society in New Zealand that is barrier-free, that access to jobs, watching any TV show you want, getting on any elevator, using any customer services, shopping in any store, that you face absolutely no barriers, using public transit? Do they announce all route stops? Do they ensure that all new buildings are designed in a way that – and that old buildings are retrofitted so that there aren't barriers to people with vision loss, not just barriers to people with mobility disabilities? From what I've heard across the board, New Zealand isn't there yet. I don't know any society that is. Some are further ahead than others, but I don't know that New Zealand's there. If you're facing those barriers now, clearly the laws on the books and the policies and strategies may have helped, but they haven't gotten you there. And the year is 2017. You can either wait forever or take more vigorous action. And new legislation is not on its own. It's not going to do everything. It's obviously got to be effectively implemented and effectively enforced. But it will make the effort more effective. We've learned that everywhere effective legislation has been tried. So that's the main thing. There some people might think, well, all we got to do is, you know, New Zealanders are good people. They want to do the right thing. So just give them the information and they'll do it. Well, frankly, everybody I've met in this country has been lovely as a host. Obviously, I've only met a few people, but it's an incredibly warm, receptive, and welcoming and friendly place. But nevertheless, you've still got a country that's got a lot of barriers in it. And it is 2017, and people with disabilities have waited long enough. And life's too short. So, and the last thing I'll tell people if they're uncertain is this. I don't point to any one country and say, hey, they got the perfect law. They've done it absolutely right. I can tell you that there's some things we've done in Ontario that were good. There's some things I think we didn't do so well. There's some things in the United States that I think they've done well. There's some things I think we did better in Canada. There's some things they're doing better in Israel. When you come to designing such a law, you work on it by – think of it like going to a buffet in a restaurant. Sample what different countries have tried. Find out what's worked and then pull together the best law you can for your country, learning from our mistakes and our successes.
Thanks, David. We know we have a long road ahead of us before accessibility legislation will be a reality in New Zealand. What are your thoughts on how to keep ourselves going from your own campaigning?
Well, I've been involved in this for many years, and there's a couple of thoughts I'd like to share. The first is celebrate your victories. You got some victories already. In 6 months, you've pulled together an alliance with an agenda that's cross-disability and that has won commitments from 3 of the 7 parties. That's a huge amount of work. It doesn't happen so fast. From the audiences and the groups that I've met and spoke to, I've been struck at what wonderful people you've got who are united in their desire for more progress and to press this forward. And I think that's also fantastic. Celebrate your victories. Divide your campaign into phases. This phase is the next 15 days. Keep the energy up for these 15 days. Once you see what happened in the election, then you decide on the next stage. And the other thing is, it's important to celebrate who the real frontline soldiers are in these kind of campaigns. And they're not the people in front of the microphone or doing the organizing. A blind Foundation has done some great work doing the organizing. I know what it's like to be in front of the microphone and to be kind of a visible presence back home where I am. But I could tell you who the real foot soldiers are, the ones who really win these campaigns. And that's the people listening to this podcast, the individuals who on their own, maybe with no visibility, no publicity, nothing like that, the people who decide, you know what? I'm writing a letter to the editor, or I know a reporter at the media. I'm going to call them up and tell them about a particular barrier I face. Your individual stories are our best weapons. And if you take those stories and you tweet them on Twitter, if any of you are on Twitter, I'm going to give you my Twitter handle. It's at David, LEPOFSKY, at David Lepofsky. The Twitter app I use on the iPhone is called Twitterific. It's very accessible. And the Twitter app I use on my screen reader driven computer is called Chicken Nugget. It costs about $15 US. People who retweet tweets on this, individuals who go to an all candidates meeting or phone up a news organization to press them to cover their barriers. And your message is simple. It's simple. Tell them about a particular barrier you face because of your disability, and then say that's why we need access legislation. And that's the whole story. It's not hard to do. And people I've found who do it, they're a little nervous. I don't know if I really feel comfortable doing this. Then they come back, and the first time they try it, they just want to do more, and they want to do it now. And they're the real winners. They're the real champions. They're the real ones. They're the real heroes of the campaign. And if everybody listening to this podcast took 10 minutes over the next 15 days to take one of those steps, you would really substantially help make progress on this. And I really – and you'd be able to look back and say, wow, never thought it could be as easy to do as it was. And then it becomes a victory not of one organization or one coalition. It becomes a victory of all the folks out there, whether they're connected to the Alliance, whether they even are a member of the Alliance, whether they even have visited the Alliance's website. Doesn't matter. Individuals taking individual action, telling their own story, collectively compel political change.
David, it's been an absolute pleasure to travel with you doing the four-city whistle-stop tour in 7 days. I'm speaking to David Lepofsky, Canada's leading access law advocate, and it's Diane Rogers here from the Blind Foundation. If you'd like to know more about the Access Matters campaign or get involved or just follow us, please go to the website. It's www.accessalliance.com. All one word, accessalliance.org.nz. And the other thing, the campaigners are really open to any feedback or suggestions. And if you'd like to email me with any thoughts on this campaign, please do so. My email address is drogers, R-O-G-E-R-S, at blindfoundation.org.nz. We're really keen to hear your thoughts.
Let me just offer you two closing thoughts that are really important. One of the other things that we found that was really successful, folks with disabilities don't have to agree on everything. They don't even have to agree on very much. But when they unite together over these kind of campaigns, they can make a huge difference. And that just by adding their own voice really helps. But the other thing is, I certainly don't want to leave anybody the impression that I've come to New Zealand as a proud Canadian, sort of wagging my finger saying, if only you were doing what we were doing or that kind of stuff. I'll tell you what's going to happen when I get off the plane back when I get home. One of the first things I'm going to be saying is, hey, they don't have legislation, but they got a great campaign to get one, and I hope they pass a law which will show up our law and even outdo it. But the other thing I'm going to say is we got some lessons we can learn from New Zealand too, because you have more audible pedestrian signals per street corner than we certainly do in Toronto. And unlike ours, yours operate automatically. We have to go find them and push a button to operate them. And so you're ahead of us on that. Also, your provision for telephone voting is better than what we've got. at the provincial or federal voting level. So we can learn from each other and then celebrate our successes together. It's been great being able to visit here, and I'm really honored by the opportunity.
Thanks very much, David. This is Diane Rogers at the Blind Foundation, just closing off this really great podcast with David Lepofsky.
You've been listening to the Access Now podcast. Episode 1, Interview with David Lepofsky, was recorded at the Otago Access Radio Studios.